So as usual on Saturday morning, we have the exceptional good fortune to hear the Sri Brahma Sanghita, which has been handpicked by Mahaprabhu himself, passed down to us because of his care and attention for his beloved devotees. He personally picked up this copy from the Adi Keshava temple in South India, according to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and distributed it to his favorite disciples. It contains all of the Vaishnava Siddhanta, and as we hear from the text itself, is revealed directly to Brahma as he's performing tapasya in a prayerful mood, waiting for the mercy of the Lord. It descends, and we are the recipients of this knowledge and information coming right from the spiritual world. So hearing this is the perfect and direct process for understanding God. It means hearing from the authority who has received it. So that's our process. So we'll read five texts each in the translation, Hare Krishna. And then we'll, after we finish all the English translation, we'll stand up, and in this blue book you'll find all the Sanskrit shlokas for the Brahma Samhita, and we'll stand before the deities and we'll recite the whole thing. Prabhupada liked to hear the recitation of the Brahma Samhita. I was in Chicago when he came. There was a mass installation ceremony and initiation ceremony. There were about three or four sets of Gornitai deities installed that all went on Radha Damodar buses. And I don't have the numbers, but there were lots and lots of devotees initiated at that time. And before that, Rohini Kumar Prabhu had been training some devotees how to chant Brahma Samhita. It was pretty rare at that time because it was just coming out. Pradyumna was translating it. And they learned how to do it. They used to sit up in the Prashadam hall, and they were all chanting it together. They did that in the Purusha Sukta also. And during the fire sacrifice, they chanted the Brahma Samhita, and afterwards Prabhupada commented that he liked it very much. So it's an important hymn. You can use it everywhere. When we're on pilgrimage in Vrindavan, we stop at various temples. Like normally when we're on Govardhan Parikram, we come to Haridev temple, and then we chant the Brahma Samhita. So it's a good hymn to learn completely. Any way around that? Is it coming from there? She's getting blasted. You want to put a chatter? Okay, so here we go, five each. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. The spiritual place of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whorl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. The whorl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. The whorl of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dham, that is, the spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shvetadvip surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shvetadvip is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankara, Makara, Katchapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalas, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra, the associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Bimala, etc., shine on all sides.
The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime, in which he engages by consorting with his own spiritual chit potency, Ram by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Ramadevi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of the Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine planetary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Swamsha. This halo is divine Shambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the supreme eternal effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity, who functions as progenitor of the mundane world, subject to the supreme regulatrix, Niyati. The conceiving potency in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited, non-absolute, apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord. All offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwara of this mundane world are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, namely the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwara Shambhu, in the form of the male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glance.
The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands of heads, eyes, and hands. He is source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of subjective portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken by the name of Narayana in this mundane world. From that eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean. The subjective portion of Sankarshan, who abides in Paravyoma, the above Supreme Purusha, with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in the state of divine sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seeds of Sankarshan existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that entered into each universe are possessed of his majestic expansion. They are the eternal universal soul, Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of being, from his right limb, and from the space between his eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine manifest halo.
The function of Shambhu in relation to the Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Shambhu. Thereupon, the same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati, and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation, and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world, hence it is being perverted. The Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoganidra, the constituent of his own spiritual chit potency, full of ecstatic trance of eternal bliss, appertaining to his own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nation-state remain originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is a cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual chit potency, moved Maya, and by the application of their conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoganidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested in the innumerable mundane universes and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virat Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity and without a beginning joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is in every way related by the spiritual tie with all souls and is the origin of four-faced Brahma, versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his mind to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Valabhaya Swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled.
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Goloka, Lord of Svetadipa, for a long time. His meditation ran thus, there exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Goloka. On its whole, there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute, resonant with the divine sound, with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy, who stays outside, embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma. Born from himself, through his 8 ear holes, the lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri, sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri, embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purposed trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals with head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, round whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shama Sundar is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, who is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. He is an unadulterated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore.
I adore the same Govinda, the primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas. By gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveyances, and ornaments, worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in his own realm Goloka with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of ecstatic potency, possessed by 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakhis, embodiments of extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by her ever-blissful spiritual rasa. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna, and the different avatars in the world in the form of Ram, Narsingha, Vaman, etc., and his objective portions. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman, mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of every blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham, mundane world. Next above is the Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, abode of Hari. And above them all is located in Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those created realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance of whose will Durga conduct herself. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acid, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is the transformation for the performance of work of destruction.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency, and reposing in the causal ocean with infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoying creative sleep, Yog Nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the later Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separate subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world. Just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the name of Suryakanta, etc. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head, in order to obtain the power of his function of destroying all obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of the nine elements, viz. Fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from who those original and who they exist into the whom they enter in the time of universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the kind of all, the king of all planets, full of infinite influence, the image of the good soul, and the eyes of this world, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of who order the sun perform his journey, mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by who conferred power, and maintain and manifest potency. They are found to exist of the virtue and the vice and the values, the permanence and all jivas, the Brahman and the manifest insight. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up the roots of fructive activities of those who are imbued in devotional and impartially ordained from each of the enjoy of the fruit of one activities, of all those who walk in the path of work in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less than the case of the chimney insect that bear the names of Indra Gopa, then in that Indra, king of the devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditation of whom, the meditation upon him under the sun of worth, amor, passion, natural friend, friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reference, and willing service, attain the bodily form, befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship that transcendental seat known as Shvetadvip, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis and their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. Where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to the science set forth in the following five shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super-excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened toward Krishna, the beloved of all souls. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion. Loving devotion, then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself.
Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. Listen, O Viti, I am the seed, that is, the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhana, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
Now we'll chant the Sanskrit verses in front of the deities. So it's in your blue book, and it's the first stage. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Sahasra Patra Kamalam Gokulakyam Bahatpadam Tatkarni Karam Taddhama Tadanantam Shasambhavam Karikaram Mahadyantram Shatkonam Vajrakilakam Saranga Shatpadistanam Prakritya Purushena Cha Premananda Mahananda Rasena Vastitam Hiyat Jyoti Rupena Manuna Kama Bijena Samgatam Tatkinjalkam Tadangshanam Tatpatra Nishrayamapi Chaturastram chaparitaha shvetadipakyam adbhutam Chaturastram chaturmurtesh chaturdhama chaturskritam Chaturbhir purushartaischa chaturbhir hetavirvitam Shulardasha viranandam urdvado dittadrikshapi Astabhir nidibhir justam astibhi siddhibhistata Manurubhaisha dasha bhir dikpalai paritovritam Shamar Gauraischa Raktaischa Shuklaischa Parshadarshabai Shobitam Shakti Bistabir Adbhuta Bisamantataha Evam Jyotir Mayo Deva Sarananda Paratpadaha Atmaramasya Tasyasti Prakitya Nasamagamaha Mayaya Ramamanasya Navi Yogastaya Saha Atmana Ramayare Me Tyakva Kalam Shishikshaya Niyati Sarama Devi Tat Priya Tad Visham Tada Kalinga Bhagavan Shambhu Kukti Rupam Sanatana Yayoni Sapara Shakti Kamo Bija Mahadarahe Lingayonyatmika Jata Ima Maheshwari Prajaha Shaktiman Purusha Soyam Lingarupi Maheshwaraha Snin Abir Abu Linge Mahavishnu Jagadpati Sahasrasirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapa Sahasra Bahur Vishvatma Sahasramsa Sahasrasuhu Narayana Sabhagavan Apastasmat Sanatana Avirasit Kararnarno Nidhi Sankarshanatmaka Yogitam Tasmin Sahasramsa Svayam Mahan Jaleshu Bijam Sankarshanasya Cha Haimanyandari Jatani Mahabhuta Vritani Tu Pratyandam evam ekam shat vishati svayam Sahasram buddha vishvatma vishnu chanatanaha Mamangaras vijad vishnum dakshinangat prajapatim Jyotirlinga mayam shambhum kurchadesha davasrijad Ahankaratmakam vishmam tasmaretad vyajayata Cher derve sher lilam udvahata kila Yoga nidra bhagavati tasya shiriva samgata Shikshayam dito nabes tasya padmam banirayo Nalam neimanalinam brahmano lokamadbhutam Tatvani parvarudhani karanani parasparam Samabhaya prayoga cha vibhinani pratak pratak Shitshaksa sajamanota bhagavanadi purushaha Yojayanaya devo yoga nidra makalpayat Yojayitva dutanyeva pravivesha svayam guham Guham praviste tasminstu jivatma pratibhudyate Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa Evam sarvatma sambandham nabhyam padmam hare rabhut Tatra brahmad bhavad bhuyash chaturvedi chatur mukaha Sanjato bhagavat chaktya tatkalam kila choditaha Shishikshayam tinchakre purva samskara samskritaha Gasha kevalam dvantam nanyat kim api sarvataha Uvacha puratastasmai tasya divya saraswati Kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jana ityavi Valabhaya priya faner mantram te dasati priyam Tapastvam tapa etena tavasidhir bhavishyati Patat sasuchiram prinan govindam avyayam Shweta dipapatim krishnam golokastam paratparam Prakritya gunarupinya rupinya paripasitam Sahasradala sampande koti kinjaka brimhite Bhumishchintamanistatra karnikare mahasane Samasinam chidanandam jyotirupam sanatanam Shabda brahma mayam venum varayantam mukambuje Vilasini ganavritam swarshwar amshar abhishtutam Atavenu nanadasya trayi murti mayi gatihi Svuranti pravivesha shu mukabjani swayam budvaha
Gayatrim Gayatastasmad Adi Gatya Sarojajaha Sanskritaschari Gununa Dvijata Magamatata Traya Prabhudho Tavidhir Vignatatat Prasagada Pushtavavena Sarena Stotrena Nena Keshavam Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu surabira pipalayantam Lakshmi sahasra shata samrama sevyamadam Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Venum kanantam aravindandhalaya taksham Varhavatam samasitam buddha sundarangam Antarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Alola chandra kala sadmana maya vamshi Ratnangadam pranaya keli kala vilasham Shyamam tribanga lalitam niyata prakasham Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Kani yasya sakalendriya vriti manti Pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti Ananda chinmaya sutujvala vigrahasya Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Advaita machute manade mananta rupam Adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha Nedeshu dula mama dula mama mabaktau Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Tantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo Vayorarapi manaso munipungavanam Sopyastiya praparasimya vichintya tatve Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Ekopya saura charitam jagadanda kotim Yashchakti rasti jagadanda chayaya danta Andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Yad bhava bhavi tariyo manujasta taiva Samprapya rupa mahima shayanana bhusha Suktarya meva nigama pratitai suvanti Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavi tabis Tabirya eva nijarupa taya kalabi Goloka eva nivasahya hilatma bhuto Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena Santaksa deva hridayeshu vilokayanti Yam shama sundaram achintya kura swarupam Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Ramadhi shukala niyamena tishtan Nana avatara makarod bhuvane kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat paramahumanyo Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti Koti shashesha vasudari vibhuti binam Tad brahma nishkalam anantham ashesha bhutam Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Naya hi asya jagadanna shatani sute Traigunya tad vishaya veda vithaya mana Satvavalambi parasatvam vishuddha sattvam Govinda mari purusham hamaham bhajami Ananda chinmaya rasatmatayamanasu Yapraninam pratipalam smaratam upetya Lilayitena bhuvanani jayatya tasram Govinda mari purusham Tamaham Bhajami Goloka Namni Nijadamni Chaleta Tasya Devi Mahesha Huridama Suteshu Teshu Tete Prabhavan Nichaya Vihitasya Yena Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Shristi Stiti Pralaya Sarana Shakti Reka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Vibharti Durga Ichchanu Rupam Apiyasya Chateshti Tesa Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Deep-yam-yatara-drivikara-vishesha-yogat Sanjaya-tena-hitata-pratakasti-heto Yasham-bhutam-apitata-samupaiti-karyat Govindamari-purusham-hamaham-bhajami Deepa-chareva-hidashantaram-abhyapetya Deepa-yate-vrivata-hetu-samana-dharma Yastadrigeva hicha vishnu chaya vibhati Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Yatarnarna vajale patatisma yoga Nidrama nanta jagadanda saroma kupaha Adhara shaktim avalamya param swamurtim Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Nishasitakala matavalambya Jivanti loma vilaja jagananna nata Vishnur mahansa ihayashakala vishesho Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Vasvanyatasma sakadeshu nijeshiteja Suyam kiyap prakatayatta vitadvadatra Brahmaya esha jagadanna vidhana karta Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Pada pallava yukam vinidaya kumbha Vande pranama samaye saganani raja Vignan vidhantam alamasya jagatrayasya Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Nirmahi ganganamamu marudishascha Kalasta tatma manasiti jagatrayani Yasmad bhavanti vivavanti vishantiyamcha Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yachuresha sabita sakala grahanam Raja samasta suramuti rashesha teja Yasya gnaya brahmati samvrita kala chakro Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Dharmota papanchaya shrutayasta pamsi Ramari kita pataka vajayasya jiva Yadatra matra vibhava prakata prabhava Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami Yamata vindra mahosa karma Bandaru rupa palabhajana matunoti Karmani nirdah dikhintu cha bhakti bhajam Govindamari purusham maham bhajami Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayari bhiti Vatsalya moha guru kaurava sevya bhavai Sanchintya tasa sadrishim tanamapurete Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Govindamari purusham hamaham bhajami Sriya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo Dhruma bhumishchinta maniganamai toyam amritam Kata ganam datyam kamanam api vamshi priyasaki Shiranam tam jyoti paramapi tharaswadyam apicha Sayatra shirabdi sravati surabhibhyasya sumahan Nimeshartyakyo vavratati nahi atrapi samayaha Vajeshweta dvipam tamaham yaha golokam ityam Virantaste shantakshiti virlachara katipaye Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavantam prajapatim Raman mahatvavignane prajasarge chachinmatihi Panchashlokim imam vidyam hachatapham debodame Prabhude jnana bhaktivyam matmayananda chinmayi Udet unitama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana Pramanait stat sadacharae stadabhyase nirantaram Bodhaya natmanatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labhet Yasya shreyaskaram nasi yaya nivritim apnuyat Yasarayate mameva bhaktim tameva sarayet Dharma manyan parityaja mamekam bhaja vishvasan Yadrishi shadha siddhir bhavati tadrishi Kurva nirantaram karma loko yamanavartate Tenaiva karmana tyayam mamparam bhaktimichati Aham hi vishvasya chara charasya vicham pradhanam prakritihi pumamsha Maya hitam teja idam vibarshi vide videhi tomato jaganti Ishvaraha paramaha krishna sakchir ananda vigraha Anadi radir govinda sarva karana karanam Iti sri brahma samhita sampurnam hari om Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohanji ki jai, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Shri Lakshmi Nisringadev ki jai.
Look at one verse from the Sri Brahma Samhita, and look at two verses, 58 and 59. 58 is on page 107. Prabhude jnana bhakti bhyam, atma yananda chinmayi, ude tunitama bhaktir bhagavat prema lakshana. Prabhude... When excited, jnana, by cognition or knowledge, bhakti bhyam, and by devotional service, atmani, in the pure spirit soul, ananda chitmayi, full of knowledge and bliss, udeti, is awakened, anuttama, super excellent. Bhaktihi, devotion. Bhagavat, for Krishna. Prema, by love. Lakshana, characterize. Translation. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened toward Krishna, the beloved of all souls. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purport. Real knowledge is nothing but knowledge of one's relationship to the Absolute. Real knowledge is identical with the knowledge of subjective natures of chit, animate, achit, inanimate, and Krishna and their mutual relationship. Here, mental speculation is not alluded to, since that is antagonistic to service, bhakti. A knowledge that embraces only the first seven of the 10 basic principles, dashmula, is the knowledge of relationship. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his holy feet, worshipping by rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself, are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. It is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Devotion, bhakti, characterized by love for Godhead, makes her appearance by being awakened by such knowledge and practice. Such devotion is super excellent bhakti and is no other than the final object of attainment of all spiritual endeavor of the individual soul, jiva. Text 59. Pramanais tat sadacharais tadabhyase nirantaram Bodhayana manatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labed pramanai by scriptural evidence tat of them sat acharai by theistic conduct tat of them abhyasye by practice nirantaram constantly. Bodhayan, awakening. Atmana, by one's own intelligence. Atmanam, the self. Paktim, devotion. Api, certainly. Uttamam, the highest. Labhet, one can attain. Translation. The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees, by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. Purport. Evidence, the devotional scriptures, example, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas, the Puranas, the Gita, etc. Theistic conduct, the conduct of pious persons, sadhus, who are pure devotees, and the conduct of those pious persons who practice devotion to Godhead, actuated by spontaneous love. Practice, to learn about the 10 basic principles, Dashmula, from the Shastras, and on receiving the name of Hari as laid down in the same, embodying the name, form, qualities, and activity of the divinity, to practice the chanting of the name by serving him night and day. By this are meant study of the Shastras and association with the sadhus. The tenfold offense to holy name ceases by serving the name of Hari and simultaneously practicing conduct, pious conduct. Practice is no other than following the mode of service of the name practiced by the sadhus without offense. By perseverance in such practice and devotion characterized by love, which is the fruit of spiritual endeavor, makes her appearance in the pure essence of the soul. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyanandana Shalakaya Chakshurandatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. There are a couple of key words, knowledge and practice. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, Sudha Goswami, Tashcharadhana Munayo Gyana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktashutta Grihitaya. That the seriously inquisitive student or sage who is fortified by Shastra, knowing the Shastra, and also by having realized knowledge, can proceed very quickly on the path of devotional service, steadily, without deviation. So this knowledge and practice is attained through the method of following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They have given the process, step-by-step process, six items which, if followed, will assure one's advancement in devotional service, and six items which, if followed, will guarantee one's fall from devotional service. These kinds of practice taken up in the correct environment, prabhude jnana bhakti vyam, they stimulate our original sense of bhakti, which awakens. And the environment is all important in which we practice our devotional service. If we're in an environment of devotees who are sat, that is, they're truly searching after the absolute truth, they have no other motivation, then by that kind of association, hearing in that kind of association, then we'll also imbibe the same feeling for the search for the absolute truth, for pure devotional service. That will become also our motivation in life. But by associating with those who are motivated, or they have some desire for comfort in this material world, then that kind of motivation will also pervade our heart. So the key to success in devotional service is given in these two verses, that by knowledge and practice in the correct environment, then the original bhakti that's there within our heart, nitya siddha krishna prema sadyukabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitta, it's there, it will become awakened naturally. So Srila Prabhupada has given the analogy of trying to start a fire while pouring water on it, and that's counterproductive, retrograde practice. But if I practice devotional service carefully, if I arrange my environment in such a way that I'm always in contact with good association, and that my practice is aligned in such a way that I'm not out of touch with it at any time, then very quickly the fire of devotional service will spiritual act, and will reignite that seed of bhakti that's there within the heart of every living entity, and it will blaze. So it's a simple science, and really, if you boil it all down, it's the science of association. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when asked, who is a devotee, said, Atsasangatyag evaishnavachar. Someone who avoids bad association is known to be a Vaishnava. That's the trick. So one should insulate oneself from mundane sound, because mundane sound, when it goes in the ear, enters within the heart, and that it has to act. And there are only two choices in this world. There's transcendental sound and there's mundane sound. There's no in between. So if you take you take the path of transcendental sound, and you line up your life so that you're in contact with it constantly, then very quickly it will act within the heart. And to the degree that I expose myself to mundane sound, that will also act within my heart. So there's also a period in life in which I may be obligated to be in the association of those who are not pure devotees, who are interested in all kinds of mundane achievements. And in those circumstances, we should also be careful that we don't also imbibe the same kind of characteristics and desires that they have. We have to fortify ourselves before we go into that environment, if a work environment or a family environment where people aren't desirous of pure devotional service. If I'm obligated to do that, before I go into that, I should very carefully chant Hare Krishna. And like every day chanting 16 rounds before going into that environment, I should take very seriously that by the association of Krishna and his holy name, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Maranusmara Yujacha Mayarpita Manobudhir Mami Vaishyatya Samshayaha. In this verse, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advises Arjuna, well, you're going to fight in the battle, but at the same time you should remember me. So Prabhupada recommends that means that as one goes on working in this world, he or she should also chant Hare Krishna, ideally without stoppage. Or at least when you chant your 16 rounds before you go out into the world, you should chant them with complete concentration and with a feeling of surrender to Krishna. If I each day have the experience from chanting Hare Krishna of tasting some nectar, experiencing something that's otherworldly, and that comes by practice, even within chanting 16 rounds, the first four rounds it's possible the first four rounds may seem like a kind of a mechanical process, maybe even the first eight. Or maybe there's a battle with the mind going through up into the first 10 rounds where the mind's saying there's other things more important and not concentrating. But maybe when you get to the 12th round or the 14th round, there's an accumulation of your determination to chant all the way through. And when you get to 14 or 15 or even 16, then you can taste some nectar. And there is nectar all the time. Krishna's there within every atom. And as an example, every morning during Brahma Muhurta, when the sun is coming up, there's nectar floating through the environment. It's just there. And if I'm awake and receptive to it, waiting for it, then it'll come down to me. And I have to be sustained by that every day. Otherwise, I'll succumb to the material sound vibration, which especially in Kali Yuga is all-pervading. Everywhere I go, there's mundane sound. There are televisions everywhere now. I went to a yoga studio last night, and there's a television. I don't know what they play. It wasn't on, but I noticed it was there in the lobby. And in the supermarket, there's televisions, hotel room. I have some in-laws in the East Coast we visited 10 years ago, and they had a television in every house, in every room of the house, including in the bathroom. So mundane sound is being distributed profusely, and I should fortify myself carefully every day by this process. And also learning and hearing the Shastra by reading Bhagavad Gita, letting it be the guide of my intelligence, then I'll have a discrimination which is uncommon. For instance, if I study the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and I understand carefully the characteristics of the modes of material nature, then I'll observe for myself how they're acting in the world. For instance, the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. The mode of passion? Greed and unlimited desires and longings. And the mode of goodness? Knowledge and illumination. These are all apparent wherever we go in this world. And even within my own mind, I can observe how the modes of material nature are working. The conditioned life means tasting the modes. And there's a taste in sleep. And sometimes you can experience it when you're trying to wake up because the senses want to taste sleep a little bit more. There's a time to wake up to taste the nectar coming down in the Brahma Muhurta. It's floating down through the atmosphere. As the sun's coming up, that energy, Krishna's coming back into the world, and there's an opportunity there for meditation without any disturbance. But then still my senses say, no, taste this sleep a little bit more, just a little bit more. That's the mode of ignorance, and I've become accustomed to tasting it. And then there's a taste for the mode of passion, there's a taste for the mode of goodness, and there's a transcendental taste, which comes about through association with the Shastra and with the devotees who are experiencing the Shastra and hearing the transcendental sound. And if I get a taste for that, that fortifies me from all the other tastes. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasidehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishvandavartate. It's a very important verse, a key point of our philosophy, because this means that there's certain kinds of taste that my senses get in contact with the sense objects. Niraharasya, it means when I'm not taking food, when I fast, that's what niraharasya means. For an embodied person to fast from something, to restrain, especially like if you take the example of eating, then it means that I am restrained from that, but at the same time, the taste remains. Isn't it? Sometimes there are people who fast who are not even spiritual, do it for not even spiritual reasons, like what? If you get sick. Say you get sick and the doctor tells you don't eat anymore. Does that mean you're spiritual? Does it mean you don't have a taste for eating? I may not be eating because the doctor told me I can't eat, but then I'm thinking, when I get back, I'm going to eat like a pail full of food. The taste is still there. But what the verse says is, Vishaya vinivartate niraharasidehina rasavarjam rasopyasya paramjishvanivartate. When you taste the nectar of the Supreme from transcendental sound, then you also lose the taste for it. You also give up the taste. It's not that you're just restrained. People can become restrained. Vishwamitra Muni was restrained for 10,000 years, and then he heard the footbills of Menaka, and he gave it up. So there is a point at which, actually, through tasting nectar, through tasting something higher, that one actually gives up the taste for the sense objects. The taste just isn't there anymore. The sense objects are there. I still have senses. I'm still embodied. And the relationship with the senses and the sense objects is still there, but the taste is gone. This is a key point, because, and how to get there. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu indriyais pramanais, what is it? Vishayan indriyais charan atmavashar vedeyatma prasadamari gachati. By this process of regulating the senses and engaging them in Krishna consciousness. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, matpara, this is also very key. Matpara means to meditate on me, to fix your mind on me. Tani sarvani samyamya. Yam means regulation, yam, like yama niyama. Yam means regulation. So tani sarvani samyamya. For completely regulating the senses and what? Fixing them on me, matpara. Vashihi Asindriyani Tasya Pragna Pratishtita. Such a person is actually fixed in knowledge, is fixed in perfect knowledge and fixed consciousness. So these two key things are there. One must regulate the senses and restrain them. The taste will still be there, but the taste is given up if one meditates on Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mami vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam parayanaha. By engaging it in this, all the senses in Krishna's service, then there's a taste actually for Krishna. And when I have that, then I come to the safe side. Prabhude jnana bhaktivyam atmayananda chinmaya means that my original bhakti is awakened. And Krishna describes how for such a person is awake to spiritual life. They're awake to every place that there's an opportunity for Krishna consciousness. They're awake for it, and they're interested in it, and they're greedy for it, actually, for getting more of that. Whereas they're not awake to sense gratification anymore. Whereas the materialistic person is fully awake to sense gratification. They're fully aware and cultivating knowledge of where to find more sense gratification. Look in a magazine. Look at, I don't know what magazines are available nowadays. Harper's or, what are there? What is the big magazine? Esquire? Vogue. If you look in Vogue or men's magazines, things like this, you'll find there article after article after article. In fact, the head article usually will be about either losing weight or having better sex. Those are the two things that are on the cover that sell. They just sell. So people are interested. This is the, you know, primary interest in the material world, how to look good and how to appeal to the opposite sex and how to enjoy the senses fully. So materialistic life means being fully awake to every opportunity I can get for sense gratification. Every advantage I can get for making more money and positioning myself in the world. So what? So me and my family can have a better shot at sense gratification, jockeying for position to make sure that I'm in the position to have more sense gratification. This there's two kinds of awakeness, Krishna says. So one person is awake to this nectar that's coming down and becomes more and more awake to that, and then becomes asleep to this other kind of thing, not interested anymore, not interested in the sense gratification in the material world. He's asleep to it, whereas the materialist on the other side is fully asleep to the what's available through transcendental sound, through the practice, through yama, controlling the senses, and going inward, finding the inner happiness that's naturally there. The soul is a part and parcel of Krishna, and just becoming aware of the soul, that I am a soul, means that I can actually experience happiness just sitting anywhere. That's what Arjuna's question was. He asked Krishna, how does a person sit? Kim asita vrajeta kim, and how does he move about in the world? And Krishna answers that a person who is self-realized, tasya pragna pratishtita, he's fixed in consciousness, how does he sit? He sits fully aware of his inner self and tasting nectar just from feeling that he's the soul, just for concentrating on the soul. So these verses advise us to regulate our life so that we become fully aware of our self-interest, which is spiritual knowledge and connection with Krishna at every minute. And once we actually make that connection, yukta, yuj means to join with that, to be connected with that. Once we connect with that, then our original impetus for Krishna awakens. And we become stronger and stronger in our impetus to be connected to Krishna at every minute until it becomes unbreakable. These stages are described going past anartha nivritti, where we're harassed by various desires to break that connection with Krishna at various times. At some times I'm connected, at other times I'm connected to sense gratification. I'm kind of awakening to this nectar that's available by connection to Krishna, but I'm still awake to sense gratification at the same time, crisscross. There's this anartha nivritti process. Coming to the other side, in nishta, the there's only a residual left of the desire for connection to the senses, to the taste that's available in the senses and their objects in the material world. There's only a residual left, so much so that it no longer disturbs my practice, nishta. And then past that, it means I have such a positive attraction and connection to Krishna through the transcendental sound vibration that I can't be disturbed by anything that's from that other side, from the world of sense gratification. It doesn't even enter into my consciousness. In fact, when one's in nishta, it means that he has the fortitude to bring back the consciousness to Krishna whenever it's distracted. He immediately brings it back, has the strength to do that. And it doesn't have the weakness of heart that somebody who's full of anartas does, to wander off into sense gratification and become lost. Nishta means he's strong enough so that even if he's pulled away temporarily, he's so strong it comes back. He pulls it right back again. But in Ruchi, even such a person who's engaged in any kind of interaction with the material world, he has to pull his mind back from Krishna to stay focused on the task at hand, because the mind has gone that way in such a positive way. Coming into the other stages of asakti and pava and prema, it only thickens and becomes more to our natural conditions. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritish chaparayvasa. We are part and parcel of Krishna and eternally related to him in a relationship of loving service. And when that's fully awakened, this is the perfection of life. And it can be attained through this process, which is given through the Lord Chaitanya, who instructed the six Goswamis, and they have encapsulated it in their literatures, which have been passed down perfectly through the disciplic succession. And the practice that we have within the realm of our society, it is, if we take full advantage of it, we'll very quickly make advancement. If we take partial advantage of it, we'll also make advancement, but more slowly. So this is why we hear this, these kinds of verses, to remind us that through the strict application of this process, very quickly the fire will act and we'll come to this stage. And this is very much desirous to have this. It's the most coveted position. Everything else is suffering, weal and woe. The material world is characterized by weal and woe. Do you want weal and woe, or do you want to taste nectar at every second? So choose tasting nectar at every second and start the battle of regulating the senses and fixing the mind on Krishna constantly, matpara. And Krishna says it himself in the Bhagavad Gita. That is Krishna speaking. He says, matpara, fix your mind on me. It's so reassuring because it's Krishna himself saying it. And when he says mut, he says me, that means he's right there. He's in that syllable. He's living in that syllable. If we concentrate on it, we'll live with him. We'll actually be with him in the Bhagavad Gita, matpara. Gopremanande arivo. So now we're going to sing a song by, yes, Vipul Prabhu.
Can you give examples of say devotees who were in anartha nivritti state and who are in nishta and who are in ruchi state? Can you give examples?
Examples from Shastra of somebody who's in anartha nivritti, somebody who's in nishta, and someone who's in ruchi. Well, let me start with bhava. Because specifically, it's mentioned that Bharat Maharaj had achieved bhava, had attained the stage of bhava. Yeah, it is. And of course, the example of Bharat Maharaj, mentioned by Sanatana Goswami in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that his deviation of mind to a deer and then taking rebirth was done for our example. That at every stage, we should be careful and fortify ourselves in those situations. Specifically from Shastra, I can't think of a specific personality. I'll have to think about it a little bit, examples of anartha nivritti. But the symptoms are given. of these kinds of stages so that, you know, you can identify when you're in them or maybe you can see them others. It's important to look in yourself. Sometimes it's harder to tell in others and not as important, actually. Although it's nice to have examples of people in certain situations. Oftentimes, you know, people try to identify, you know, who's an Uttamadhikari, who's a Madhyamadhikari, and things like that. It's highly recommended that you try to see it in yourself and identify where you're, what position you're in, by examining the symptoms given in the Shastra and then seeing how does it match up to your own personality. I'll think about that a little bit more. I will think of some specific examples and let you know.
Dashamula? Yeah.
We'll send you a copy. We have a copy of the Dashamula that are listed. They're 10 of the primary tenets of devotional service. And if you give Malini your email, she'll send it to you right after class.